Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Food takes center stage, but some are finding it hard to swallow. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, a debate about the rise of foodie culture in the music world. Plus, New York City rapper Jean Grey ups the culinary ante with her forthcoming record, Cake or Death. She joins us for a live preview. But first, last weekend marked the first ever Great Googa Mooga, a much-buzzed-about Brooklyn food and music festival that plays celebrity chefs and their restaurants squarely at the top of the bill. But even before this gathering of gourmands, an internet food fight broke out over this question. Is food the new rock? It's a question we're serving up with a
Soundcheck Smackdown!
And joining me here in the studio is New York Times food writer Jeff Gordonier. Jeff, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, John.
And also joining me in the studio is Hamilton Nolan. He's senior writer at Gawker. Hamilton, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, I want a good, clean fight. And Hamilton, I'm looking at you as I say that. Now, Jeff wrote what seemed to me a harmless article about food trends working their way into the concert scene. He apparently touched a nerve with you.
Yeah, it's funny you say harmless because I feel like, you know, among bloggers, as soon as everybody saw that story, it just everybody's eyes lit up and said, you know, this is kind of prototypical of the sort of annoying direction that a lot of these trends are moving in.
What's annoying about having good food at concerts?
Nothing's annoying about having good food at concerts. I think the idea that food and more specifically foodieism can replace music as a sort of cultural touchstone is the thing that really made it cross the line in my mind.
Jeff, your article, you know, it was sort of a trend piece. It came out before the Great Googa Mooga.
It did.
What Hamilton says is true. I mean, the Great Googa Mooga, it was the chefs and the food that was top billing. I mean, you had the Roots, you had Hall & Oates, but they were sort of, you know, to fill out the bill almost.
Yeah, and that was the intention from the very beginning. I think the idea that food is the new rock is so obvious that it's actually beyond debate. We're not even the first people to say it. And I think in a way Hamilton touched on the key word here, which is annoying. It may be annoying to him and to others, but it is nevertheless true. I mean, what... It's indisputably true.
There may be some people who still want to dispute it.
I intend to. But the genesis of the story was this. I mean, I'm 45. I grew up going to rock concerts and festivals, and historically the food there was, you know, inedible. It was atrocious.
Right.
Warm beer and you know, cold pizza. And over the last 5 years, sort of inspired by Jazz Fest in New Orleans, you started seeing these rock festivals. Bonnaroo has a food truck oasis, okay? Outside Lands has a wine tent. You know, Lollapalooza has a culinary curator. So you started seeing this gourmet food appearing at rock festivals, which in and of itself is a fascinating cultural mm-hmm. trend. What happened this year with the Great Googa Mooga is that the organizers, who are also the organizers behind Bonnaroo and Outside Lands, announced the chefs first.
Right.
They announced the chefs long before you knew what the musical lineup was. And that told us everything. I think they're saying, and you know, they're expecting tens of thousands of people to show up just for food and to meet the chefs. And that's a huge shift. Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not, it's on.
Hamilton, do you sort of feel like maybe, you know, you get your finger in the dike and, you know, there's...
Well, yeah, but I think that's an honorable thing. I mean, there used to be a club called CBGB's in New York, and now in the same spot, there's a restaurant called DBGB's. And, you know, to me, if you think that's an improvement, then you're kind of fundamentally missing some part of your soul, you know, and it's... That to me is not an improvement.
Well, we weren't necessarily saying it's an improvement. I mean, my job is to observe these cultural shifts and to mm-hmm. chronicle them.
What is it about food that might be, you know, what are the characteristics of foodie culture that, you know, are similar to the characteristics of
the emergent rock culture two generations
That's
ago.
A good question. I'm actually going to give Hamilton some raw meat to you know, to chew on. But this is the most pretentious thing that might be said on the radio this week. But I was having dinner with Adam Gopnik from The New Yorker at La Grenouille. Let's just leave that there. I was, in fact, a few months ago. This is for a story I wrote about him in his new book. But, you know, he's more eloquent than I, and he pointed out brilliantly that food is where the conversation is now. Food is where the arguments are. Okay, if you want to talk about some, you know, political arguments, cultural arguments, aesthetic arguments, they're happening in the arena of food. Are you for locavore movement? Are you for farm to table? You know, how do you feel about you know, eating meat? Hamilton himself told me in the waiting room that he's a vegetarian. These questions have always been around, but they're intensified now in the arena of food, and these celebrity chefs are driving those debates. And so Adam Gopnik was saying to me, if this were 1968, we'd be debating, are you for the Beatles? Are you for the Stones? What does that say about you? What gesture is that about your identity? Hmm. Now we're debating, are you for David Chang? Or are you for Dan Barber? Like, where do you stand?
I'm not sure I've actually heard that argument. And
well, it's always a first.
That
I do. I hear it all the time. I think it's actually a very potent argument right now. All these. The point is that's where the conversation is culturally.
I mean, food is where the conversation is. If you're Adam Gopnik, you know, Adam Gopnik doesn't know anything about music or what's cool in general. I mean, I would submit. So I guess the fundamental mistake is the overgeneralization that Adam Gopnik's lifestyle somehow speaks for a cultural movement.
Is this a generation? Thing? Is it a class thing?
Yeah, I think it's both to some extent. I mean, clearly, there's always generational clashes when it comes to music and things like that. And I think class even more so, you know, because one thing that bothers me about foodieism as a concept is it's taking something that everybody can relate to and elevating it to a level that makes it inaccessible to the masses, you know. Whereas I feel like music is a sort of democratic force, a uniting force, and foodieism is the opposite of that in my mind.
We're talking about this question, is food the new rock? Jeff Gordonier, food writer for the New York Times, you can read his article, Pork Belly Lobster and Yes, Music, on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. And Hamilton Nolan, senior writer at Gawker, who wrote a response article called Food as Music, When Foodies Went Too Far. Read it if you dare on our website. Jeff, writing about restaurants and chefs who are going to be at Googa Mooga in Brooklyn this weekend, you wrote, it can't be an accident that many of these places and personalities resonate with the fresh-out-of-college food hunters who seek transcendence through a Korean taco, just as their Generation X forebears once sought it through the Smiths, Run DMC, etc.
Really?
Yes. Out of college? I mean, we're told
absolutely.
These kids have no jobs. It's the weakest
absolutely.
Economy. Where are they getting the money to be?
I don't know where they're getting the money, but absolutely this is happening. And again, I'm not the first person to say it. New York Magazine had a brilliant piece recently about food as the new indie rock and young people who seek out these restaurants and these experiences. I see it all the time. I'm in restaurants all the time, and I got to tell you, I'm hearing these discussions at the nearby tables. I'm seeing people take pictures of their food. There's sites like Food Spotting.
Is it a generational thing?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that food has supplanted rock and roll as the obsession for people under 30. And if you don't like that as a generational thing, my answer would be, then make better rock and roll.
Mm. Hamilton, you obviously disagreed with all of Jeff's article, but that line in particular.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, to say that I'm in restaurants all the time, so I see people being interested in food is kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, if you're at underground hip-hop shows all the time, you're going to see people interested in hip-hop, you know, and if you hang out with people who eat in expensive restaurants, that's what you're going to see. Again, I think it's an overgeneralization problem. And, you know, and I would never want to vouch for, you know, wealthy early 20-somethings in Williamsburg as cultural role models for anybody. I mean, there's a reason that they're considered some of the most easily mocked subject on the internet, you know.
So, I don't know, though. I don't – this idea that it's elitist, and I totally disagree with that. I mean, I think a lot of the foodie movement – and by the way, I find the word foodie odious, but we have to use it because it's perfect shorthand for this – is incredibly democratic. And actually, a lot of the chefs like David Chang, you know, Eddie from Bauhaus, really democratic guys who are in fact opening up these conversations about where your food comes from, what that means politically, culturally, economically. They're opening that up to all sorts of people, and I think that's a healthy thing. I don't think it's just some elitist thing. I mean, that's really like a misinterpretation of it.
All right, let's soundcheck listeners. We need your opinion in our SmackDown this week. Has food become the new rock? Leave us a comment at wnyc.org/soundcheck or call us 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. We had this big food and music festival, and yes, it was food and music in that order, out in Brooklyn this past weekend, the Great Googa Mooga. Jeff Gordonier is here. Hamilton Nolan from Gawker is with us as well. And at this year's Governor's Ball, which this year takes place not on Governor's Island but Randall's Island, you could enjoy a Luke's Lobster Roll while watching this band perform. It's Passion Pit.
All these kinds of places make it seem like it's been ages. Tomorrow's sun, new buildings, great sky. I love this country dearly, I can feel the ladder clearly, but I never thought I'd be alone to try. Once I was outside Penn Station, selling red and white carnations, we were still alone, my wife and I. Before we married, saved my money, brought my dear wife over, now I work to bring my family stateside. They stayed a while and scattered across the coast. Once a year I'll see them for a week or so at most. I should go on.
Take a Walk is a new track from the band Passion Pit from their forthcoming album Gossamer, not due till July. They will be playing the Governor's Ball on Randall's Island here in New York on June 23rd, the first of the 2 days of the Governor's Ball Festival, which will feature, a fairly healthy bit of evidence of the inroads that food culture, foodie culture, if you insist, has made into the music world. Jeff Gordonier's written about it for The Times, and Hamilton Nolan, not a fan of what's happening. Is it a turf question, Hamilton? Are you concerned that people will focus too much on what they're eating and drinking while they're at the festival and not pay attention to the music?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, can you have a really hardcore music festival while everybody is eating lobster rolls? I mean, it's kind of a philosophical question. I think not, but maybe that's just my own personal taste in music, you know.
Well, but that's a huge shift, though. I mean, I agree to some extent because, I mean, I grew up, I went to The Clash, I saw Talking Heads, I saw Public Enemy, you know, I saw Husker Du. I mean, we were lucky if we got a chili cheese dog afterward. It wasn't about the food.
Right.
That said, like, I mean, I covered the second Woodstock, Woodstock 94, for Entertainment Weekly, and I'm going to tell you something. I threw up at it while I was—you can ask the reporters I was with. I actually, like, you know, lost my lunch, dinner, and other things.
Because of something you ate?
Yeah. The food was so terrible. I mean, it was at some point during the Nine Inch Nails performance. I think if you're feeling nauseous listening to Nine Inch Nails, maybe not the best idea. But, like, you know, so, I mean— I've had experience where the food was so terrible at these festivals that, you know, it can only be a blessing to actually be able to eat something good.
Yeah. There is one line in Jeff's article, Hamilton, that I find sort of hard to refute, where he's quoting somebody who's saying, in the old days you would just say, I'll have a beer. Now you say, what kind of beers do you have?
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a great thing.
sure. I mean, you know, is beer food? I don't know. Beer is booze.
Oh, so. Come on.
Wait a second now.
That's a whole nother SmackDown.
Beer is ambrosia. Don't you want a better beer? What's wrong with a better beer?
Let's take some calls. Dana is on the line with us from New Jersey. Hi, Dana.
Hey, how are you?
Welcome to Soundcheck. Where do you stand on this debate?
I agree a little bit with both of them. You know, I definitely think that it doesn't hurt to have a better selection of, you know, maybe healthier, better brought up food at these concerts, because I mean, it starts in Brooklyn, and you're saying, oh, it's a bit elitist, but all big trends seem to start on the coast and then make their way across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are used to eating crap, but then all of a sudden there's more accessible, healthy, gourmet foods, and it's there, why not enjoy it? I don't think it's fair to say it's replacing rock and roll, because nothing can ever replace the rock and roll, you know, but why can't the two coexist?
Right on. Hamilton?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Again, nobody has a problem with good food. I think the problem is the idea that food is more important. You know, I would much rather listen to the Roots and eat a bowl of cereal than to eat every celebrity chef in Brooklyn and not hear any of the Roots.
This but you can have both.
This from the man who ends his article with the following quote, "Fruit roll-ups and Wu-Tang are good."
When I speak the gospel, stole with the holy robe, then attack the globe with the buckets, style the ruckus, 10 times 10 men committing mass sin. Turn the other cheek and I'll break your f***ing. Slain boom bangs like African drums.
LB.
Coming around a mountain when I come.
Wu-Tang Clan with Protect Your Neck. And in a moment, we'll continue our debate over the rise of foodie culture in the music world. We ask you to join our food fight. You can call us at 212-433-9692 or leave your comment on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. And coming up later, the rapper Jean Grey has been thinking about food, too. Desserts, mostly. She tells us about her upcoming album, Cake or Death, and she'll play live. This is Soundcheck.
I speak mean and I reason it with 100 things. Not one of the things that I'm uttering when under drinks is how I really feel. The feelings built a wall up.
I just want a bottle, a place to write my novel. I am heroin and those that have rhyme and think, how do you find this upper echelon this time? Let's toast to better days.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We're debating the question of whether food has become the new music in today's Soundcheck Smackdown. Last weekend's great Googa Mooga Festival in Brooklyn featured this band, The Roots, but the chefs were the headliners. I'm joined in the studio once again by New York Times food writer Jeff Gordonier and Gawker senior writer Hamilton Nolan. We're taking your comments on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck, and your calls at 212-433-WNYC. Joel Myers in the control room, and he's got some of the comments. Joel.
John, I want to say the prevailing theme on the website today is, can't we all just get along? But here are two different opinions. Food Aggro from Brooklyn posted this. No, food is not the new rebel rock. Give me a break. Food can be enjoyed alongside music, but that doesn't mean it has to replace it. Everyone likes food. Stop trying to turn it into something it's not. And here's what Michael B. from Morningside Heights posted. I think he's here to set off a generational war. Since the 60s, boomers became self-identified with their music, rock, as if they owned it and deserved credit for it. Never mind whether it deserved credit or not. Food is fulfilling the same void now. People puff themselves up and self-identify by becoming foodies.
And is that Hamilton turning food into, as the first commenter said, something it's not?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, you know, we're here on the radio, and through the radio, you can send out music to everybody in New York with a push of a button. There's no button you could push to send out foie gras to everybody in New York. I mean, it's an advantage that music has. It's in the nature of it. It's in the essence of it. And I don't think that's something that food can ever replace, really.
Well, and then, of course, the question is, are we talking about food replacing music?
No.
I mean, it seems, Jeff, that that was not the tenor of your argument. But, you know, I think Hamilton's sort of fear is that, you know, for this generation represented by that commenter, that food is sort of pushing music off the table of the cultural conversation.
Yeah, I want to answer that question, but I keep thinking about how we could transmit foie gras across the radio, because I would love that. If someone could invent that, I'm in. Look, like, it's a good point, because at the Great Googa Mooga, particularly on Saturday, they had problems with long lines. Mm-hmm. You can't serve food the same way you serve music.
Right.
Okay, unless you have a magic touch when it comes to loaves and fishes or something, but you know, so there were lines, and one of the funny stories, true or not, I don't know, but anecdotally it was all over Twitter, was this idea that two young women actually fought over some fried chicken. Like,
yeah,
there was like a fisticuffs over this. So I thought, you know, is this the foodie Monterey Pop or the Foodie Altamont.
Or the Stravinsky Rite of Spring.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
fisticuffs breaking out at the premiere.
In a way, there was truth in that anecdote. I mean, that tells us the intensity with which people, you know, are approaching
people
this.
People will fight over anything, though.
That's true. It is fried chicken. I would fight over it myself. But I don't think we're talking about food supplanting or, like, replacing music. The fact is, a lot of these musicians that even were part of the great Googa Mooga, Questlove's really into food. Daryl Hall, yep, on his webcast, actually cooks with the bands he has on Live from Daryl's House. A lot of these musicians now, Alex from Franz Ferdinand has a whole book out about the food he ate on the road. This is part of their, you know, ethos now.
All right. So you mentioned Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates, who were at this festival, the Great Googa Mooga, this past weekend. On this episode of Live from Daryl's House, Daryl Hall and Goo Goo Dolls frontman John Resnick cook up some buffalo wings.
So John is a cook, and he's our first guest who ever really has cooked on the show. So he's going to make a local favorite, and one of my favorites. Going to do some buffalo wings, so show me how to do it, man.
Great, okay. So I'm going to reveal, like, the secret to making, like, a really crispy buffalo wing, because everywhere else in America, you know.
Soggy ones.
Soggy. And this is, like, Bruce Lee, you know, revealing the kung fu secrets to the Westerners. So some guy from Buffalo is going to hit me in the head with a ratchet.
Hamilton, anything wrong with, you know, Daryl Hall, Questlove from The Roots, Alex from Franz Ferdinand, all these guys being foodies?
No, I mean, I like food like everyone else. You know, it's funny that you brought up fried chicken because I'm not a food expert, but I always thought that fried chicken was like one of the best examples of foodieism gone awry in New York, where a year or two ago there was this craze over sort of deluxe gourmet fried chicken. It's in New York Magazine. It's in the New York Times dining section. You know, La Conde Verde, it costs $40. You know, Momofuku, it costs $100. And fried chicken has always been delicious. You know, you could take a piece of Popeye's fried chicken and put it on a plate at Momofuku, and New York Magazine will write a story about it, you know.
Let's see what some of our listeners have to say about the topic in general, but specifically about the event this past weekend at Prospect Park in Brooklyn, the Great Googa Mooga, this festival of food first, music second. Alan from Park Slope was there. What did you think, Alan?
I was there. I didn't think that it was going to be, you know, anything extraordinary, and it just blew me away. I think since the history of music, it's always been something that has brought us together, that communalized us. But music can be delivered now. You know, I mean, as a kid, I used to go to High Holidays to listen to, you know, great chazan. And, you know, the equivalent, whether it's in the Russian
Orthodox
Church.
Great cantorial singing, yeah, right.
But the communal atmosphere around food, and particularly at the Googa Mooga, was amazing. And I found that it was even more communal as a food festival than music, because music you have to direct your attention to.
So Alan, what did you go for? Did you go for the music or did you go for the food?
I went for the food. But, you know, and in the day, of course, I was a huge Hall & Oates fan.
Right.
Here I had such little, I'll tell you, the communal atmosphere was amazing.
All right. Part of your community while you were there enjoying Googa Mooga was Nathan, who was there. He's from Manhattan, but he was there as well. And Nathan, what was your experience with the big Googa Mooga?
It was a bust. It was a big bust. I mean, they just packed us into that park like sardines. And there was, you know, no room for your elbows. And to get any food was like an hour wait, and to get even a bracelet to have a drink, just to get the bracelet, your ID checked, was over an hour at some points.
So for you, the communal experience not quite the same as for Alan. The Great Googa Mooga was at Prospect Park in Brooklyn over the weekend. It did feature The Roots and Hall & Oates, but the main attraction was this lineup of chefs and great food that was available, if you could get to it, apparently. I'm actually told that by Sunday they had worked out, Jeff, a lot of the
That's what I hear. Emily from our dining staff went on Sunday, and it was a lot easier. But the fact that there were these colossal lines only proves my point.
Which is
that food is the new rock, which is not even my point. Other people have made that point. But I'm saying, I mean, in fact, in our article, it was Justin Warner from Do or Dine, the chef, one of the chefs from Do or Dine in Brooklyn, who said that. I mean, if people are lined up for a foie gras donut or a, you know, pork belly shawarma taco for 2 hours, Case closed.
Yeah. Kat, what do you think? Kat's with us on the line from Astoria.
Yes, I am a concierge, and so I take calls daily from this entitled and impatient generation every single day who want to get to the best restaurants in New York. And the big difference that I see with that in rock music is I'm 31, so I guess I'm at the tail end of this generation, or the beginning of it. But I love going to rock shows and telling my friends about it afterwards and picking up our instruments and playing. And there's so many people that are my clients who I'll send to a restaurant, and I'll talk to them afterwards, ask them how they liked it, get a feeling for their experience, and I'll ask, well, are you going to try and learn to cook it at home?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, forget it. They don't know how to cook. I think the way that rock music empowered people to put something together on their own, make them feel that they were more a part of it, I think that there's still a big line between these chefs and the people that go to the restaurants, because sometimes it's just bragging rights. And I think, especially concerning bands from Williamsburg and food from Williamsburg, it's a case of the emperor's new clothes.
It's a really interesting point, the idea that, you know, one of the beauties of rock music, you know, is learn to play three chords, make a song, and, you know, you can go home and try this at home. If you're cooking with liquid nitrogen and, you know, sous vide machines and stuff, I mean, most of us can't try that at home.
Yeah, but not all the chefs are doing that. Some of them are doing much more approachable kind of food. I mean, I think one of the questions here is that, you know, rock and roll itself is, what, 870 years old? It's been around. I love it. Love the stuff. Love rock and roll. But it's been around.
Some of my best friends play rock and roll.
Yeah. But, you know, in some ways, the conversation just shifted to these chefs because they're fascinating people. Mm-hmm. In the same way that rock and rollers in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s were, after that, not so much. But Jack White is fascinating.
All right.
But, you know, they're just fascinating people, and they're bringing up, you know, they're creative, they're unfiltered, they live like pirates. So they seem like rock and roll stars.
We still have a few rock and roll stars. Let's see what some of the other commenters are saying on the webpage. Joel?
Dan, John, there's a lot of great conversation going on the website, and I'm just going to do a couple of quick hits for you here, John. Dan from the West Village. Food can compete with music once someone figures out how to dance to it. Lindsay from Detroit. New Orleans Jazz Fest. Need I say more? Great music, but it also features some of the best eats. JD from the Upper West Side left this. I'm a waitress in New York City. There should be sessions at food festivals that teach 20-somethings how to tip and how not to split a $35 check on four debit cards. And Ben from Brooklyn has this question. Ben writes, almost everyone has had the experience of being moved to tears by a great song. Jeff Gordonier, have you ever been moved to tears by a great meal?
Oh, yeah, many times. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even gonna, you know, be ironic and snarky about that. I have been since I was a child. It's one reason I love writing about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, if you have the hummus from Zahav in Philadelphia, you will indeed dance. It is diaphanous.
Hamilton, are there still rocks? Do they make rock stars the way they used to, or are they all celebrity chefs now?
Yeah, I mean, of course they do. You know, that never changes. There's always a generational clash, but that's never going to go away. I think fundamentally the sentiment, you know, food is the new rock, just makes me sad. I mean, because if you have, you know, you say, okay, when I was young, I had Run DMC, I had Wu-Tang, you know, I had Tom Waits, I had Bob Marley, and what did you have? And they say, I had a foie gras donut.
Yeah.
It's sad to me. It's sad.
But you will always have Run DMC and Tom Waits and Wu-Tang.
Yes, thankfully.
All right, so there's also an edition of the Soundcheck blog that you might want to check out today for my reactions to our SmackDown today. That's at wnyc.org/soundcheck, where all the other comments have come in. The Chicago-based music festival Lollapalooza once again has its own culinary ambassador, and yes, that's a real position. His name is Chef Graham Elliott. And he makes, I'm told, an amazing lobster corn dog and truffle popcorn. And Florence and the Machine will be at Lollapalooza August 3 through 5 in Chicago's Grant Park. And here they are on Soundcheck. And we've been debating whether food is the new rock. Jeff Gordonier is food writer for the New York Times. Hamilton Nolan, senior writer at Gawker. See their respective articles on our webpage as well, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Jeff, Hamilton, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you very much.
And still to come, with a new album called Cake or Death, rapper Jean Grey takes baking very seriously. We'll find out more when she plays live for us next on Soundcheck.
It's real and easy to say it over this easy beat. More complicated, intoxicated, the greasy's teeth. Right. I want to tell you both to free my mind and free the speech. Right. But when I want to say I love you, only evil leaks. I speak mean and I reason it with 100 things.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. So earlier in the show, we were debating the idea of food as the new rock. Well, it appears that food might also be the new rap. Or at least it's a recurring theme for Jean Grey. On the heels of her 2011 mixtape Cookies or Comas, the South African-born, New York City-bred hip-hop artist is gearing up for the release of her next full-length album called Cake or Death. This is Jean Grey with a live performance of the first single from that album. It's called You and Me and Everyone We Know, live on Soundcheck.
One, like I just did the home base run without winning any bases, though. Oh, basic reasoning out the window, ground growls, Eric Sermon style. Like I got kicked off a cloud, Method Man 95. Rap references because you get them all. You even get that I should have said it was 94. Hard place when you wanna still rock to it. Living in my glass house, steady throwing rocks through it all. I never stop feeling the love for you. Had to stop being the one for ya. I think too much overanalyzing everything
sucks.
I'm over dramatizing everything, but you're never on the level I'm on unless we're cutting. Lusting, we never argued when thrusting, but still, after then, it just turns to dust, brother. Swear I never love another if this really worked out. This shit's just like watching fitness infomercials from the couch.
Ouch,
I know. You're lazy. It's easier to pick a partner less crazy. Much less work, less purpose, less of A to Z. I'm an alpha, bet it's hard. Heart palpitations do still occur though. Me and you some Merlot, situation blur so much. I be thinking that this could actually work again. It's even nice to have you back in my world as my friend. Sometimes I gotta say it simply. Wow. Cause sometimes things are simple. We make it complicated for the win, B. Cause otherwise we just be stressed with all our N-words. Inner child, inner space, inner monologue. We exchange intercourse without a dialogue. Introduce intimate ways to turn our fire off. Thing in us that seeks a spark, light, higher. Mom, I still adore you. And you adore me theoretically. So now I gotta shut the door on you. So I can find out who is next for me.
Repeat after me.
You and me and everyone we know. That's you and me and everyone we know. That's you and me and everyone we know. It's you and me and everyone we know. It goes you and me and everyone we know. You and me and everyone we know. That's you and me and everyone we know. You and me and now sing along. It goes you and me and everyone we know. You and me and everyone we know. It goes you and me and everyone we know. That's you and me and everyone we know. It's 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 you and me. And I can find what you're looking for. Stay searching. Hey, that's you and me and everyone we know. You and me and everyone we know. That's you and me and everyone we know. That's you and me and everyone we know. You and me and everyone we know.
That is Jean Grey and a song called You and Me and Everyone We Know. That'll be the lead single from her forthcoming record called Cake or Death. Jean Grey with Mila Machenko doing background vocals and Mr. Len, the DJ, also doing some backing vocals. Jean, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
So, happy to be here.
Cake or Death, that's a pretty stark choice. I mean, is there no middle ground I can have there?
I think that's a lot of the, you know, really the idea of the joke is that, you know, it's got to be so extreme. And I think going through the process of writing this album, there were so many things in my life that I, you know, finally realized that you can find some sort of middle ground and not have to say, I'm picking this or I'm picking that, to extreme things. And you can kind of have everything, which is, you know, I guess would be have your cake and eat it too, just not in a terrible way. and diet cake.
And
Splenda.
The free mixtape that's out there now is called Cookies or Coma.
Yes.
Comas. So, again, sort of working with this this food imagery, but really the baking imagery.
Yes.
First of all, are you a foodie?
I am definitely a foodie. And I think Mila just said, I said, and an amateur gourmet chef in that voice.
So, you know, one of the things that we heard during the first part of the show when we were debating, you know, food, sort of food culture is sort of penetrating into music culture is one of our callers said, well, you know, you used to go and you would see a band and it would make you want to go home and try and play songs, play music for yourself. For you, you have the same experience with food, that you eat a good meal, makes you want to go home and try and do that?
I do. I definitely do. And, you know, I find out about new restaurants and definitely want to go there just to sample the menus and try to taste flavors and get ideas for new combinations. And I'm definitely someone who doesn't cook. I'm not great at baking because it's more of a science and exact measurements. And I like to, you know, taste as I go along, come up with new combinations of flavors. I'm great with flavor. But yeah, it definitely great restaurants make you want to, you know, go home and be like, I got to come up with something like that or try to recreate it. Yeah.
Now, do you write music the way you cook, you know, sort of tasting it as you go along, adjusting on the fly?
Yeah. You know, I write very quickly and I never write beforehand. I always write in the studio and immediately record stuff. Which is kind of how I cook. It's you know, kind of a potluck, and even if I'm looking at things around the room or experiences I just had that day and putting it directly into the song. Yeah.
What's food like backstage when you're on the road?
Sometimes we have good days, and sometimes they fill the rider, and sometimes you're just like, oh, it's just a, what is it?
What would a good day taste like?
A good day is when we get a place, usually that's, I'd say, combined with a restaurant, and they kind of make their own food back there. Otherwise, we normally get stuck with what we call backstage sandwiches.
Yeah.
And I would like to crown myself the master of the backstage sandwich. And I normally request enough condiments on the rider so that we know even if the food's going to suck, we're going to be able to make really
you
good...
There might be
pesto or, right. You know, a balsamic vinegar. And then the key is to wrap it in saran wrap and then cut it through like a deli sandwich. Backstage.
So you've got this all figured out.
It's taken years.
So for you, food and music, you know,
all the same, creative energy, and you know.
We're speaking with Jean Grey. Her mixtape Cookies or Comas is available now. The upcoming album Cake or Death will be released later this year, and she and her band are playing tomorrow night at the club Drome in the East Village. Doors open at 9. You were born in South Africa but raised here, right?
Yes.
I mean, both of your parents are well-known musicians. Mm-hmm. Your mom, Sathima Beya Benjamin, mm-hmm. was on Soundcheck some years ago.
Awesome.
Your dad, Abdullah Ibrahim, the former Dollar Brand, great South African pianist.
Yes.
So music in the house as you were growing
always,
up?
Always. You know, I never really thought of it as being distinctive or different from other households. It just, you know, seemed
But now,
so
where did you? It wasn't just New York. You were raised in the Chelsea Hotel.
Yes. Yeah, that's a lot. And again, you know, it wasn't, I never really thought how different the experience was to anyone else's. And, you know, I attended a lot of, you know, very free thinking, like charter schools, and everyone had parents who and lived in areas that were kind of, it was hippie time. We were the hippies. And I had no idea. And rock stars.
Uh-huh. So those were the people who lived down the hall and up the stairs and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of a bygone. I mean, the Chelsea Hotel was recently sold. It's under new management. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like maybe, you know, New York is losing a little bit of that flavor?
New York is losing a lot of it. But I think there's some areas of New York that, you know, are springing up as little happy kind of havens. And I think in the past couple of years, it's kind of been a resurgence of people really trying to build better communities and neighborhoods. And really, you know, gentrification is one thing, but, you know, at least bringing mom and pop stores and little commission stores back and people really trying to make community again is great.
Jean Grey's with us on Soundcheck today. Let's hear another song from the upcoming album, Cake or Death. This Morning is the last song on the record, right?
Yes.
And what's this? Morning. What's happening here?
This Morning is actually one of the first songs we recorded for the album before it started to really change shape. And I think it was the hook that took me the longest to write. And I wrote it and tried to come back to a few other things. And I ended up coming back to this because it felt right. And it's about being brave enough to get out of your own way and do something to becoming great and becoming, you know, the superhero that you're supposed to be.
All right. Jean Grey, named after a superhero, in
Definitely,
fact, X-Men
yes.
fan, with Mila Machinko and Mr. Len and another live performance here in the Soundcheck studio.
Let's do it.
Well, good evening, morning. The on. Hits like a switch flicked on. Click that this morning is different. Can't fall, still switching positions and been yawn. Can't fall, itchy triggers egging me on. So get up, cause the world is waking. You can't slumber in. Sleep when the pearly gates open and you're tumbling. Feet on the floor, stumbling, detour round a decor. Fumbling, reach for keys, door them peace, y'all. Streets call me, not for slanging the stuff that makes police haul me. Y'all for cuffed up in the beast and roughed up in ringing for jeans. Sorry, call me to rip more beats and reap glory. So I keep on, it's my story.
I hope that the sun will shine. Come on. Call and say, and you gon' make it. Been grinding, hustling, know it's gonna change our fate.
This morning,
I decided
that
I'm gonna change my life. Never gonna be the same no more. Because this morning I decided I'm gonna change my life.
The employee of the year. Picture frame with my name at the bottom, grinning ear to ear, singing in and air. Got to get
promoted to the manager.
Hey, a lot of hard work and diligence planned here. Get canned, I can't. Yeah, you fill in the blanks, do it like Sunny Ann. I see the light, I'd be a fool to leave it shining there. So every night I've been proving up on the line for me. I'm finding the fear, shutting it down. Timing is clear, it's here for year. A cop messing around, cause fear can do sick. Or make you bang 2 fists to the head to drown tears, then you can't do this. And I ain't gonna fold or a hand of booze yet.
I woke up sun was shining, calling, saying you gon' make it.
Oh, come on.
Been grinding, hustling, know it's gonna change my face.
Because this morning
I'm gonna change my life.
That's right. Come on, come on.
Never gonna be the same no more. Because this morning I decided I'm gonna change my life.
That's right.
I woke up and the sun was shining.
I can get y'all on the hand claps, right? Go for it. Goes. Hey, hey.
I'm gonna change my life.
That's right. Sing it,
never gonna be the same no more. Because this morning I decided I'm gonna change my life.
It's just gotta be one thing. Tomorrow morning, pick one thing out of your life that's been holding you back. Get better. Do better. Mila's getting it in. Good job.
That is Jean Grey with Mila Machinko, sort of featured towards the end there.
That is correct.
And Mr. Len, the three of them singing, and Mr. Len providing the backing tracks. Jean Grey's song This Morning will be on the upcoming album Cake or Death, due later this year. A couple of our listeners have pointed out that Cake or Death is a quote from Eddie Izzard.
Yes, it is.
The British comedian.
Yes, it is.
So, are you a fan?
I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan, and it was definitely taken from that bit. I absolutely love him, and I have a huge love of everything stand-up comedy. And there's something really wonderful to learn from that, from performers, about delivery and timing and phrasing. So that's kind of the school that I come out of, other than the rap school, and definitely as being an MC, because that's what MC is supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah.
You're out there kind of entertaining the crowd.
Yes.
And, it's very often it's in the moment.
Yes.
As seemed to happen sort of towards the end of that performance.
Very
there.
Much so.
And then there is the matter of your name, which it comes from the X-Men, right?
Yes.
From the character Jean Grey.
Yes.
So we've established you're obviously a music fan, a food fan, a comedy fan, and an X-Men fan.
Definitely.
As well.
Definitely. Huge... comic book and superhero movie, and I'm a nerd. I'm a big nerd. We've established that I'm a cooking, rapping nerd. That's funny.
Cookies or Comas is Jean Grey's free mixtape, available now. Her upcoming album, Cake or Death, will be released later this year. She and the band are performing tomorrow night at Drome in the East Village. Doors open at 9. Jean, it's been a real pleasure having you here in the studio.
Being here.
Thank you so much. This is Soundcheck.
The pain of not reflecting the range of our complexions. For rubber pellet scars on Auntie Elna's back, I'm on. Just spray caramel shining in all our glory. For more riches, St. Helena, my blood is a million stories. Winnie for Jonah, for Edie, for Norma, Leslie, and Dee Dee. For Auntie Betty, for Melanie, all the same family. Fiona Joe Berg, complex of mixed girls. For surviving through every lie they put into us now. This world's yours and I swear I will stand focused. Black girls, raise up your hands. The world should clap for us.
That's going to do it for today. Tomorrow on Soundcheck, Spin Magazine just released a new list of the 100 greatest guitarists of all time, with plenty of names you might not expect. We'll find out who's on the list and who was left off. And we'll ask you to nominate your favorite guitarists of all time. Tomorrow on Soundcheck, also, a live performance from the pop group known as the Spinto Band. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn with Margaret Bresnahan. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. We had help today from Alex Abnos. I'm John Schaefer. Join us tomorrow for another Soundcheck.